Bible readings from Job 16, 7 to 22 and 19, 23 to 27. Surely, God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. You have shriveled me up, and it has become a witness. My gauntness rises up and testifies against me. God assails me and tears me in his anger and gnashes his teeth at me. My opponent fastens on me his piercing eyes. People open their mouths to jeer at me. They strike my cheek in scorn and unite together against me. God has turned me over to the ungodly and thrown me in the clutches of the wicked. All was well with me, but he shattered me. He seized me by my neck and crushed me. He has made me his target. His archers surround me. Without pity, he pierces my kidneys and spills my gall on the ground. Again and again he bursts upon me. He rushes at me like a warrior. I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and buried my brow in the dust. My face is red with weeping. Dark shadows ring my eyes. Yet my hands have been free of violence, and my prayer is pure. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry never be laid to rest. Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man who pleads with God, as one pleads for a friend, only a few years will pass before I take the path of no return. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in a rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Amen.
Great, thank you, John. Do keep that reading in front of you, or you could look it up in the Bible on page 521. And you should have a handout as well, headed The Good News in Job. As always, that's something to follow and make notes if we find that helpful. Is God for us or against us? It's a question we sometimes ask, isn't it? Not necessarily consciously. We don't sit down and write down the fors and againsts. Not most of us. But subconsciously we experience things, good things, bad things, and we interpret those things. We use a grid in our minds and our hearts that make us think, if that happens, that must be what God is like, and so on. In short, we look at our circumstances and we draw conclusions about whether God is for us or against us, on our side or opposed to us. We're in the middle of a series of seven Sundays looking at the book of Job. You may have heard of Job, you may have heard of the phrase Job's comforters, which is not a compliment, and we thought about them last week. The book of Job is in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. At the Allenby churches, we believe that God speaks to us today clearly in a way we can understand. And he speaks in the power of his Spirit through every part of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the book of Job is in the Old Testament, and so we can trust that God is speaking to us from it. And it's a difficult book to read because it's about suffering and it's about pain. And it's about false accusation, it's about feeling unjustly treated. In fact, it's the book in the Bible that supremely addresses the issue of suffering. And it's about how Job interprets the suffering he faces, how he thinks about it, what he concludes about God's attitude to him. And we clearly see that in today's passages. This morning at St. Peter's, we baptized a child, and we asked the question, what is baptism? What's it about? What does it signify? And though baptism isn't in the passage, I think it is helpful to keep in some of what we thought about this morning for reasons we'll see, and not just because it mentions baptism on the handout, although it does. So just to give you a flavour of where we're going for the next few minutes, we're looking at a couple of speeches in Job in the middle of his conversation with his friends, these comforters. So these things fit into the big picture of what we talked about last week. And what we're going to see is that the experience of Job looks ahead to, it foreshadows the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in turn, the death and resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of the symbolism of baptism. For those of us who have faith and have been baptized, we're, if you like, caught up in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I hope that by the end of our time, we'll see that as those in Christ, united to Christ by faith, though sometimes it may feel as though God is against us, and it certainly did for Job, yet in reality, God is for us. So first, death. Job was a wealthy, respected man who lived somewhere in the Middle East or the western part of Asia, maybe thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. And the big thing we need to know about Job is that he is a blameless, upright man who fears God. He's not perfect, and but he's confessed to God any sin he's committed, and he's living a godly life. And he is suffering. All his worldly possessions have been taken away from him on one traumatic day. On the same day, his 7 sons and 3 daughters were all killed. And then a bit later, he was afflicted with terrible, painful boils on his whole body. And if you probably don't want to read that, but if you did want to read about that, that's in chapter 1 and 2. And we saw in the first week the reason for this, that the devil incited God to allow him to cause this pain. And in chapter 16, he's talking about what this suffering feels like. How does it feel to suffer as Job is suffering? 7. Surely, God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. You have shriveled me up, and it's become a witness. My gauntness rises up and testifies against me. God assails me and tears me in his anger and gnashes his teeth at me. My opponent fastens on me his piercing eyes. The pain is constant. It feels as though God has worn him out, has devastated his household. Verse 12. All was well with me, but he shattered me. He seized me by the neck and crushed me. He's made me his target. His archers surround me. Without pity, he pierces my kidneys and spills my gall on the ground. Again and again, he bursts upon me. He rushes at me like a warrior. Feels as though Job is God's target. God is attacking him like a warrior in a battle. And yet, verse 17, my hands have been free of violence and my prayer is pure. He's innocent. It feels like death, a kind of living death. And we might identify some of those images in our own suffering or from what we've seen going on in Ukraine. And it feels like God's punishment, God's settled anger against him. It feels as though God is against him. And maybe some of us can identify with that. Maybe some of us feel like that at the moment, as though God is against us and we don't know why. And just pause there for a moment. It's worth remembering that God never criticizes Job for what he says. Well, he does a little bit later in the book, but not at this stage. And at the end of the book, when God speaks, he criticizes Job's friends, not Job. And I take it that means if we've suffered and asked, where is God? What are you doing, God? It feels as though you're against me, God. He doesn't write us off. He still hears us. He's still there. So keep talking to him. Keep bringing your pain to him. The time it becomes a problem is when we draw back from God, when we stop talking to him. But keep talking to him, keep engaging with him. Well, some of us who are familiar with the Bible might have noticed in Job's words echoes of other words. So have a look at verse 10. People open their mouths to jeer at me, they strike my cheek in scorn and unite together against me. God has turned me over to the ungodly and thrown me into the clutches of the wicked. I wonder if that sounds familiar to anyone. Well, listen to these words from Psalm 22. Psalm 22 was written by King David, the greatest king in Old Testament times, but I'm certain that David didn't go through the things he talks about in Psalm 22. Rather, he was led by the Holy Spirit to speak of what would be experienced by a descendant, a future king in his line. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Verse 6, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him, let him deliver him. Verse 16, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. My bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. And so we come to Jesus Christ. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all make it very clear that as he hung on the cross on Good Friday, dying, Jesus was fulfilling those words, Psalm 22. They all speak of the hostility, the mocking, the hatred. They speak in different ways of Jesus facing the punishment, the right anger of God. And so Job's felt experience of God's punishment, even though he hadn't sinned, points us forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus had never sinned, yet he did experience God's punishment against sin. See, Christians believe that on Good Friday, Jesus faced God's right anger and punishment against all our wrongdoing, all the things that make us feel guilty and ashamed. The Bible teaches each of us has gone our own way. Each of us is broken in different ways. We've done things, we've had things done to us that we're ashamed of, that make us feel guilty. And we try to ignore the guilt and the shame, but we can't. They gnaw away at us. And Christians believe that wonderfully the innocent, perfect Christ died so that you and I could have a new start, so we could be forgiven, so all the shame and the guilt could be removed forever. So we can be friends with God and look forward to being with him forever. So Job felt like he was dying. Christ died. And so to baptism and the faith that goes with it, baptism symbolizes dying with Christ. When we baptize an adult at the Annaby churches, we do it by full immersion. We push them down under the water. And hopefully they come up again. They do come up again. But it symbolizes death with Christ. There's a sense in which when we're baptized, we die with Christ. For those of us who have faith and have been baptized, to symbolize that, we have died with Christ. So death. Second, resurrection. And here we move to chapter 19. Verse 25 at the end of the reading. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. They're famous and wonderful words, aren't they? And if you like classical music, you'll recognize them from Handel's Messiah. What's Job saying? Well, he's saying that he expects to die. That's clear throughout these chapters. But he's telling us he also expects to live again, to be resurrected. And he's saying that he believes he has a redeemer. The word in Hebrew is someone committed to you in a binding agreement, a covenant, Someone who's bound to stand up for you when you're wronged and can't stand up for yourself. You get a great example of it in the story of Ruth, where Boaz is the kinsman redeemer for Ruth. Well, he believes that his redeemer lives and that he will see him. His redeemer is alive. He himself will be raised from the dead. God will be for him, shown to be on his side in the end. And as we come to think about Jesus Christ, we'll be aware that Christians believe that on Easter Sunday, Jesus was raised from the dead. Our Redeemer, the one who rescued his people from our sin and our guilt and our shame by dying for us, was raised to new life. And the Bible tells us that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so those who believe in him will also be raised. So Job is right. He will be raised. He will see God. And again, baptism is a sign of being caught up in this reality. As a person is raised up out of the water, it's a sign of resurrection. Just as Christ rose again, so through faith in Christ, the believer will rise again. So a response is needed. What response do we see in Job? Job shows remarkable trust in God. He's enduring this terrible torment. It feels like God's punishment, like God is against him. And yet, as we saw in chapter 1, he believes that God is good, God is in control, and so he continues to trust. He trusts that he will be delivered, he will be redeemed, he will be resurrected. He keeps trusting that in one sense, against the evidence, God is for him. And at the end of chapter 16, he puts this in the most remarkable way. Verse 19 of chapter 16. Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. He says he has a witness in heaven, someone who stands up for him. It feels like God is against him, and yet he has an advocate in heaven. God is also for him. God is standing before God, pleading on Job's behalf. And it seems to me this can only be a foreshadowing in the Old Testament of God the Son, Jesus Christ, standing before the Father, pleading for his people. We have an advocate with the Father. However hard it gets, Jesus has died for us. He is interceding for us. Martin Luther said this, God loved us even while he hated us. We've said it's about trusting God. How can we trust God today? Maybe you're visiting or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Well, you can choose to trust God, to trust that Jesus Christ has opened a way to God, offers you a new start. Ask him to be your redeemer. You can do that even today. Speak to me or a member of the church family, and we'd love to talk to you about how you can do that. And then when we suffer, what does trusting God look like? I think what today's passages have helped me see is the question that suffering makes us ask. Is God for me or against me? Or to put it another way, is there hope or no hope? And like Job, our lived experience of suffering and hardship and loss may be terrible. But the question for us today is, will we, like Job, look beyond that lived experience? Will we look to heaven? Will we see there is a Redeemer who lives? Will we walk by faith rather than by sight? And as we've seen each week during this series so far, and as we saw when we looked at Romans 5 before Easter, there are a few things that can help us to do that. Just as Job looked up to his Redeemer in heaven, advocating for him, So we are privileged to be able to look back in history to a cross where God proves beyond doubt that he loves us and that he is for us. Our lived experience may be terrible. Everything may be screaming to us that God is against us. But when we look at the cross, we see solid, unbreakable proof that God is for us. Chris mentioned Romans 8 earlier. We've both been thinking about Romans 8. I've been thinking about the end of Romans 8. And I think these verses sum up what I'm saying. The question is God for us or against us? Listen to these words. And it's worth looking them up so you can look them up again later. It's on page 1135 in the Bibles. Page 1135. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And then verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be facing a terrible sense of, a terrible suffering of loss. You may feel as though God is against you. You may be saying to God in the dark watches of the night, I don't understand, I don't know why this is happening. But at the same time, you can cling on to God. Cling on to what you know to be true about God. Even when it feels like he's against us, the cross proves he is for us. So let's walk by faith, not by sight. And let's remember that verse in 1 Corinthians 10, Verse 13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. He will not test us beyond what we can bear. We can trust him for that. And we can pray. As we saw in Romans 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can pray, Lord, pour out your love into my heart. I did that before Easter, and he did. And as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, we can invite him into the pain. In Christ, God knows what it is to suffer. He suffered more than any of us. If we invite him to be with us in our suffering, he will come. So Job's experience is a foreshadowing of Christ. Job was experiencing suffering that felt like the punishment of God. Christ did suffer the punishment of God for our sins. All of us, through faith and baptism, have died with Christ. Job looked forward to resurrection, to being with his Redeemer. Christ was raised. All who trust him will be raised with him. So let's cling to him. Even when it feels he's against us, let's trust God is for us. Let's pray. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to look back to the cross this week. Help each of us to look up to our Redeemer who has been raised and is seated at your right hand and is interceding for us before you. And so whatever we're going through, help us to trust, though it may feel as though you are against us. You are for us.